Father, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us and for giving us your word. We thank you for the entrance of your word, gives light, and also gives understanding to the simple. And we thank you for the word the Spirit of God is saying to the churches at this time. And we pray, Lord, that you give us understanding in Jesus' name. And as we look back on the things which you have been speaking to us, pray that, as you said in your word, the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance those things which you have said already unto us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everyone, again. Now, this Emerge series, I want to talk about it just briefly. The theme for this year from the Lord had been Emerge. That's what he told us at the beginning of the year. And I know we had, you know, a few lessons here and there throughout the year on this particular subject, on many other things. But now that we are getting closer to the end of the year, the Lord's brought us full circle. And we've been talking for the last, 2 weeks on this series of, this Emerge series. And so today, I want to just do a quick look back on all the things that we have covered. So we'll do a series review. We'll get some testimonies. We'll do a look ahead on what's next. And then, other things as the Lord will lead us. Why is it important for us to dwell on this subject of Emerge? Well, first of all, because the Lord said we will. And what does it actually mean to emerge? Well, it just means that we might have been in obscurity, but we're coming out into full view. We might have been behind, but we're coming out in front. You know, we might have been beneath, but we're coming out on top. You know, we might have been below, but we're coming out above only. And so there's a time for everything. The Lord called for it. And we started out by looking at what it means for us to be vessels of honor. You might remember that. Now, these messages are all in the replays. So feel free to go back for the last 2 weeks. The election of grace, the vessels of mercy, the choice that God makes is not based on how people see things, but God makes his own choice. And we covered how God chose many people in the Bible, not because they wanted to be chosen, sometimes not even because they've done anything or not. So the story of Jacob and Esau, what God pronounced over the twins, even before they were born, how that the elder will serve the younger. And God, you know, God made that choice. And for those of us whom God has chosen, we wanted to call out the attention that we ought to be truly thankful for what God has done. For us to be vessels of honor and vessels of his choice, that's something that always ought to bring us before the Lord in worship and adoration for the good things, you know, that he has chosen us for. Some are chosen unto honor and some are chosen unto dishonor. Liken that unto vessels in a great house, you know, all kinds of vessels in the house. You know, some are vessels that you don't care too much about. Others are, you know, cherished vessels that you put up in the china, bring them out only in on special occasions. But we pray that all of us will be those cherished vessels. But if any man has this hope in himself, the scripture says, well, we need to purify ourselves from the things that might bring dishonor so that we can be vessels of honor in his hands. We talked about saying yes to the Lord. What God wants to do for us in this Emerge journey, we must say yes. And that's really all that he needs from us. Emerge is in different dimensions, not only physical, material, but more importantly, even spiritual. And we must say yes. God's always looking for someone to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. God's always looking for someone to send. We've covered stories of how God was calling Samuel, but he didn't know, you know, but once he figured out how to say yes, then from that point on, you know, the Lord used him mightily. We covered how Isaiah himself had to say yes when he was in the presence of God. And he said, the Lord said, who shall go for us? Whom shall we send? And Isaiah had to say yes. We covered, you know, how Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus, breathing cruelty down on the early church, how Jesus arrested him on the road to Damascus. But he still had to say yes. You know, at the end of it, that experience, he said, Lord, what would thou have me do? And we also likewise covered someone that did not say yes. The story of Jonah the prophet tried to run away from what God was asking him to do because of his righteous indignation. He really didn't want the people of Nineveh to go scot-free. And he knew if he went and preached like God ordered him to, you know, the Lord would have mercy. But he actually wanted those people to be punished. We call that out as a great, great evil. Everyone deserves the mercy of the Lord. And if we get a chance, you know, to say something that will turn the hearts of the people towards God, that's something that we must never, you know, don't miss that opportunity to do that. Anyway, God taught Jonah a lesson, finally. And we talked about would-be destiny killers that God will turn into destiny helpers, you know, whether or not they want to be. Sometimes destiny helpers may be willing helpers. Sometimes they may be unwilling. But God will protect that destiny. We talked about providence, watching over and protecting destiny. Destiny being what God, you know, predetermined where you will be, what will happen. Either things that will happen in his grand plan of things, in his eternal purposes, or things that will happen in our lives. You know, and his providence being his continuous act to guard and watch over that and guide us into his perfect will and make provision, you know, for what he determined that thing will come to pass. So as we understand that, he gives us confidence that what God has in store for us, he's also able to bring to pass. Praise the Lord. You know, so when we talked about, you know, also understanding the time of the promise that is so critical. You know, any time that God calls for something is so critical for us to understand that. However, you know, as far as individually, time of promise is for how God deals with his people as a group, nation or people, or the individuals. At any time, if you have the right kind of faith, you can pierce the veil of time, even if it's not time. We saw the story of the Syrophoenician woman or Greek woman to whom Jesus said, well, it's not time. I'm only come to, you know, send forth right now for the house of Israel. And I can't take that which belongs to the children and give it to dogs. Well, you know, the woman persisted and said, well, that may be so, but even the dogs will get the crumbs, etc. You know the story. And she pierced the veil of time. Jesus said it wasn't time. to cross over to the Gentiles. But this woman, she persevered because she had tremendous faith. And, you know, she was able to obtain. We talked about, you know, faith that can go beyond the veil. Story of David, for instance. You know, it wasn't his portion to go in and get the hidden manna, you know, show bread and all these things, which were not lawful for the priest to eat. I mean, for everyone except the priest. But he did it. And Jesus even testified of that. And we talk about what it means to understand the times and what God begins to do when the time of promise draws near. We're reminded of the sons of Issachar that understood the times and the seasons. And by that understanding, they had an advantage over their brethren. And all their brethren, they were actually, you know, commanders among the people because of their understanding of the times. And what that means for us is, as we understand the times, it gives us an advantage. You know, because when God says it's time, he begins to stir up the people to pray towards the thing for which God said it is time. That's how it works. Everything begins with an unction from God. And as the time of the promise draws near, God begins to orchestrate things, you know, to bring that to pass. Among those things are, you know, the stirring up of the hearts of the people to return unto the Lord and to begin to pray and so forth. You know, then we also talked about contending for the word of promise. You know, we, so many things we talked about along those lines. Just, you know, if something, here's a few reminders. Remember that something is not a promise unless you know that it was promised. You know, if you don't know that it was promised, then to you, it's not a promise. So the first thing is we must know what God said and what he promised. You know, so we search the scriptures to figure it out. We also have the Holy Spirit. Can remind us of the things that the Lord already said to us. Jesus said that. So when he'll comforter shall come, shall bring to your remembrance things which I already told you. You know, but once you know the word of promise, then you got to contend for it. And just because God promised something doesn't mean you're going to just sit back, kick back, relax, and the promise will just fall into your laps. Well, the devil is going to have one or two things to say about that. So you got to pray through the promise. Now, the promise of emerge, which we've received from the Lord since the beginning of this year, for that in particular, you're going to have to do something about it. We're not just going to, you know, sit back and assume that everything just falls into place. It doesn't work like that. We gave many examples. Example of Elijah, for instance, that called for the rain. The Lord already told him. In fact, he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And he sent Ahab and others to go and eat and drink because the rain, I mean, famine was coming to an end after 3 years and 6 months. You know, now it's time for them to go and celebrate because God's going to finally send rain. But he himself, instead of going up to eat and drink, he didn't. He went up to the mountain to pray. Fervently, we're told. And for 7 straight times, we don't know how long in between, he sent his servant to go check it out. Nothing was happening, but he kept praying through. He had the word of promise already, you know, and he declared it already, but still had to pray through. And so we see that there are many, many stories like that. And, you know, sometimes also the word of promise will be challenged. I call that contradictions against the word of promise. When the Lord says something and then all hell breaks loose to contradict that, you know, that may be from the devil, from the elements, from everything. It may also be from the voice of reason in our head, the voice of doubt, and the voice of unbelief. I'll call out the story of the children of Israel. Moses selected one person from each of their tribes to go spy out the land, including Joshua and Caleb. And of course, the rest of them, other than those two, brought an evil report and brought contradictions against the word of promise. to which they say, we cannot do it. We can't go up and we can't do it. Basically, we're not going to emerge. Lord promised them something. They said, we can't do it. There's too many giants there. There are too many things going on. I mean, we're like grasshoppers ourselves. The land's going to consume us. And we're not strong enough to do this. And, you know, and they brought an evil report. But we saw how, you know, two of them stood up and contended for the word of promise and said, well, we are able, well able, because the Lord is with us and we're going to have these people for lunch and we can do it. Let's do it at once. Well, the result to the others and all the children of Israel that did not believe God or did not sanctify, this is the word I put it, they did not sanctify the word of promise in their hearts. That's the way I put it. To all those people, the Lord said, well, you know, you will see my breach of promise. So that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. You know, their unbelief and the fact that they would not sanctify that word of promise in their hearts made God to actually cause the promise of them going in to breach. And they brought it upon their heads. And their very little kids that they thought would perish were the ones the Lord said, well, those are the ones that will go in. We reminded ourselves of, you know, the saying that God said in Numbers 14 and 28, you know, wherein he said, you know, what you have spoken in my ears, that's what I'm going to do unto you. So, that being said, it's important for us to speak only positive things, you know, and speak only the word that God already spoke. We spoke about the example of Jesus telling disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. And he gave that word. But all hell broke loose and it looked like they were going to capsize or be destroyed. But yet, the word of God to them through the Lord already said, we're going to the other side. And we see that Jesus' expectations that the people could ride out the storm, he was disappointed. And so that's another thing to call out when you have the word of promise. Sometimes contradictions will come up against that word of promise, but you got to stand your ground. That's right. And stay the course. So since the Lord promised us to emerge, we got to stand our ground and stay the course. You know, later in the series, we will talk about how to actually get there. You know, but along the way, we talked about strategy that is going to be important. You know, how that the Lord will teach you and the Lord will guide you and the Lord will instruct you. The Lord will give you understanding, you know, how to proceed. You know, and that is so key, you know, because, you know, even Paul himself said, look, you know, I don't run this race just scatteredly or just anyhow. You know, I'm focused. I don't beat, you know, I don't fight as someone that's beating the air. I know exactly what I'm doing so I can land my punches correctly. You know, no shadow boxing here. He has strategy. He knows what he's doing. You know, we need strategy. We need to know what we are doing. And we need to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help get us there. You know, so these are, you know, some things. And I, you know, when all of that is happening, what will be your response, you know, to all the distractions, contradictions, and so forth? Well, we call that your answer and declaration of faith in the face of all that. You know, so, you know, many scriptures were given throughout all these lessons to encourage us. You know, I'm not giving those scriptures necessarily today. I'm just talking through a quick review. And then you will be given the opportunities to share as well. You know, one of our favorite scriptures, which we've quoted many times, of which I've also asked the people to memorize and use it as your declaration of faith, Isaiah 50 and 7. You know, the Lord God will help me. That's right. You know, the Lord will help me. You know, he declared that because the Lord already told him earlier in chapter 41 and 10 that the Lord was going to help him. So here he's declaring in chapter 50 and 7 that the Lord God will help me. You know, and I'm not going to be confounded, he said. And moreover, he said, I will set my face like a flint. In other words, I'm not going to even be discouraged, dismayed, whatever it is. But the Lord told him, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed, don't be afraid. You know, I will put my game face on. And I know that I will not be ashamed. And that was his declaration of faith, no matter what was going on. We saw certain examples, you know, in people like Abraham, that changed his name even to prove what God told him, that he will be the father of nations, even when he did not have a child. And the testimony of carrying that testimony in the change of his name was so powerful. Because every time somebody called him the old name, he might say, well, don't call me that anymore. It's my new name now. And every time they called him his new name, it was a testimony. It was a declaration of faith and an answer, you know, to all the tongues and everyone that said, well, you don't even have a child. How are you going to be father of nations? Well, said Lord said so. And I will be father of nations. And he carried that testimony even in the change of his name. Names so powerful, we saw. And it went on and it was great. We talked about, you know, arising and shining in the glory and beauty of the Lord and what it meant. Not just for material things, but what it meant even in the spiritual. I mean, throughout this series, we've made reference to all the things that Adam and Eve lost since the beginning and how we get there. According to Romans chapter 3:23, that says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, how do we get back into that glory of God? You know, so that's part of what the Emerge series is all about. You know, and, you know, once we understand all that, we position ourselves with a yes to the Lord. You know, we also talked about a new day. That's right. You know, that's again part of your answer to anything. You know, when the devil comes up against you, try to bring up failures of the past and different things and so forth. You know, we see that your answer needs to be that, you know, that's what we said, at least in that lesson. That, well, that was then, but this is now, and it's a new day. And so you must strengthen yourself for the new day ahead. Take off your hand from that rewind button, we said. You know, keep rewinding. I mean, stop rewinding. And people keep doing that. Stop rewinding. You know, just rewind and live in the past. You can't change that. Learn from it and move on. And if you will rewind the thing at all, rewind it just once and erase it. And record fresh memories. That's right. But, you know, keep living in the past. I mean, stop living in the past. So we talk about those things. We talk about, you know, us knowing and remembering that it's the favor of the Lord. And you've always talked about favor. This favor, the scepter of favor from the king. You know, how he can, you know, make decrees just for you and how the favor of God can change your story. And we looked at many stories where God's favor spoke for them, even when they were not looking for it. Abraham was the first one we looked at. He wasn't looking. Others wanted to be great in Genesis 11 and build a tower to heaven. God scattered them. Next chapter of Genesis 12, Abraham wasn't even trying to do any of that yet. God selected him. God handpicked him and he said, I will make you great. That's the favor of God. And it's God's choice. He's the one that makes great. You know, and even as the psalmist prayed in 1 Chronicles 29, he said, thine is the kingdom, O Lord, the power and the glory. You know, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, O Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand, is power, and in thy hand is might, and in thy hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now, God's the one that makes great. Greatness is from the Lord. So when he promised the emerging, it's not going to be by your power, neither by your might. According to Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, it's not by any of that, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. Now, we also looked at some things that we have to do, how we can use the Word of God to bring to life the things that are dead. You know, that's part of this emerging series. Promises, dreams, etc., that are dead. How God instructed and guided Ezekiel to engage in that drama of bringing the dead bones back to life, and how God eventually brought bone to his bone, put everything back in order exactly the way they should be. And it all started with God showing Ezekiel, or asking him, if they could come back to life. And he was made to participate in the process. So we must use the Word of God, so powerful like that, for us daily to remind ourselves, instruct ourselves, encourage ourselves with the Word of God, and to speak to those situations, you know, that may be blocking our process, and our progress rather. And yesterday, which was the one room that was a bit, you know, disrupted, we were talking about the process. You know, what is this emerging going to look like? Just so we don't think that it's all going to happen in one day. It's always a process to it. Even, you know, in us, you know, emerging in spiritual things, there's a process. You know, Galatians 4 and 19 says, my little children, you know, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I didn't get around to some of these scriptures yesterday because of the disruptions. But they were already believers, but yet they were not, Christ was not fully formed in them. They hadn't gotten to the place where they needed to get to. And there was a process. Even for Jesus, there was a process. Isaiah 9 and 6 describes the process. First, he was born as a little child, and then he grew to a point where he became a son, and a sonship, and he was presented. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given or presented. So, when you give something, you present. And so, even as we go through this season, we're going to the season of Christmas and all of these things. Now think about it. You know, it took Jesus 30 years from the time that he was born until he was ready to be presented. And when he was presented, coming out of the water, being baptized of John the Baptist, the heavens opened up, and that was his presentation. You know, this is my beloved son. Hallelujah. And the Lord, the Father of spirits, presented him to the world. But 30 years had gone by. You know, if it took Jesus that long, from day one, he knew what the will of his Father was. As a matter of fact, we're told that when he was 12 years old and his family was coming back from the great trip to their homeland and so forth, he had stayed behind. They thought he was in the company, and, you know, after a while, they didn't find him, look for him, found him in the temple among scholars and doctors of, you know, law and philosophy and so on, and religious leaders. And he questioning with them and, you know, talking to them about the scriptures. And, you know, Mary and Joseph saying, why did you do this to us? We've been looking for you for 3 days. And he knew all along. He said, look, why? What are you looking for me for? Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? So he knew what his Father's business was all along. It didn't take him 30 years to know it. He knew it all along. But there was a process. And he had to develop into the readiness, the place where he was ready as a man to carry out, you know, his assignment. And we talked about the parables that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the seed that is sown and how the person that sows it goes to bed, wakes up, goes to bed, wakes up, doesn't know how the seed brings forth, but the seed will bring forth of itself because God put that power. You know, he blessed the seed from the beginning and said, let the, you know, the trees, you know, come forth and let them be our seed and let the seed have life in itself and so on. And so the ability for the seed to reproduce, the ability for great things to emerge from the tree and the seed, God already put that there. And, but it takes a process. Jesus described the process. He said, well, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the air. So that's a process. It's not going to be the full corn right from the day one. It's going to take time. And it could be 5 months, 6 months, 9 months, or a year. We don't know how long, depending on the kind of tree or seed that's planted. Some of them take a very long time. Some take a few weeks or a few months, you know, before they produce and before you get a real harvest. It might take quite a while. But Jesus described the process, you know, but so yesterday we talked about small beginnings and greater endings. And the great stories that we see in the Bible did not always start out with, you know, blazing guns and thunders and lightnings. Some of them started out, you know, with very, you know, even mean beginnings, you know, very small beginnings. Even the Christ himself. I mean, look at how he started out, born in a manger, no place where anybody would look for anybody of any renown. Yeah, there was even no place for him in any of the hotels, you know, and he had to be born among donkeys and things like that. Well, that's to teach us a lesson, you know, that, you know, these, your circumstances, you know, that you may find yourself, you know, and so forth, you know, that cannot hinder the purpose of God in your life. You know, you got to just trust the Lord. The little Christ, didn't matter whether he was born among donkeys or anywhere, you know, his destiny was assured. Providence was going to guide and protect that destiny. Even when Herod wanted to kill him along with all the babies, the angel of the Lord would direct Joseph what to do, and so on and so forth. And the Lord protected the little child even when he couldn't do anything for himself, you know, until he was a grown man. At the time he was a grown man, he knew his destiny, and he knew how he's going to do it. The devil tried to, you know, trick him. Well, fall headlong here and I'll give you everything. But that's not the way he was going to die. He knew it, you know, and he wasn't going to fall for it. And many times the people tried to push him off the cliff. Now, that's not the way he was going to die. He knew it. In order for him to redeem us from the curse, he had to hang on the tree. So he already knew that, because curse is everyone that hangs on the tree. Galatians 3 and 13. So he knew that and he was going to do it. But, you know, he had to go through the process, the process, the process, and the process. And today we are also reminded that we have to go through the process. The greatness that we are looking for, the emerging that we are looking for, is there's a process to it. Throughout this series, we've alluded to the process of the, you know, and yesterday more so we spoke about it. And others in the room also spoke about it. The process of the butterfly emerging out of that cocoon. A process of transformation throughout all the series. Throughout all the stages, you know, that little thing started out a warm caterpillar and all that, eventually gets into the cocoon stage and, you know, cracks that shell, come out of that, the beautiful, glorious butterfly that looked nothing like the ugly thing that was before it. You know, so, you know, that is a full lesson review or full series review on all the things that we have been talking about in this series for the last couple of weeks. And then what's next? Looking ahead, what's next? what you heard me talking about, you know, the transformation and transfiguration series that I'll be getting into, and I will, and that's coming next. And you will be a part of it because you will actually be enacting it as we go through next year. This emerging that God has been preparing us for is actually going to be happening. It's happening already. Some people are already emerging, but not quite like we will, you know, because now the glory of God has come upon you and the beauty of our God is shining upon you. And you will shine. Your light will now rise in obscurity. And why is the Lord doing that? Is it so that we can, you know, gloat and glory and so forth? No. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. But the Lord is going to do it because the Lord said he's going to do it. It is time. And there's coming a shift, you know, but only to those, the shift in the blessings coming to those that are ready, you know, that their hearts are ready. You know, those whose hearts are going to be, you know, drawn away because of the things that God will do, they may not even get there. Because God knows every heart. You know, said concerning Abraham, I know him, you know, what he's going to do. I mean, he knows everyone. And when riches increase, we warn the people, don't set your heart upon it. Now, the abundance of seas are coming to be converted to the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, you know, treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places. I may get to that lesson in the, you know, Transform and Transfigure series. Been wanting to do it for a long time, you know, but when God says it's not time, then it's not time. I can't do it, you know, but maybe he'll let me do it. And you know, we're coming into that. And also remember that even the kingdom of God itself, Daniel prophesied it, he saw it, he said it. You know, in Daniel chapter 2, he saw a stone cut out from the mountain, you know, without hands. And it was a little stone at first. It just looked like a little stone. You know, the cloud that Elijah saw when the torrential rain was coming started out as a small cloud at first, like a man's hand. You know, all these things. Now, the kingdom eventually grew to become a great mountain. It smashed, you know, that little stone, smashed that image at the feet, crushed it, and then filled the whole earth. But it was a process. It did not start as a great mountain. It started as a little stone, you know, and when Jesus started out his ministry, first it was John the Baptist, and then it was Jesus. And then there were, you know, Peter, James, and John, and then a few more. Then there were 12, then there were 70, then there was 120, then there was 500 at once, then there was, you know, more and more. You know, it was a process. And today, millions and millions, probably even billions of people, you know, that the Christ has influenced their lives, turned them around from darkness into light, you know, all over down through the ages. But it started, you know, just a little thing at first, you know, but Jesus, he knew what was ahead. The Bible says that, you know, he knew what was ahead. He set his eyes on the prize. And because of what was ahead, he was willing to go the distance. He even told of those parables himself. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man that saw something, you know, a pearl of great price in a field. He went, purchased it, and sometimes he, you know, went and sold everything he had in order to get it. And Jesus went through all of that. And along the way, my goodness, did he have to contend? He had to contend. You know, one time as he was getting close, you know, and the darkness, you know, was right there because he had to embrace that darkness. That's right. You know, Jesus had to embrace darkness for the first time in his life, because in God is light, 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But Christ would become darkness for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was going to be made darkness, sin, and he was going to embrace that. And he dreaded that thing. In fact, he dreaded it. And he prayed, is there any other way around this thing? Because he knew he would be separated from the Father. You know, because God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. And he contended to go through. But he knew he had to go through because he said yes. You know, and he prayed until blood was coming out of his forehead like sweat. You know, that's some prayer, folks. My goodness. But he had to go through and he knew he would go through. But all along, he encouraged himself by declaring his testimony even before it happened. And we've talked about that even throughout the series and even before this series. You know, that, you know, according to Revelation 12:11, they overcame the devil, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The word of their testimony portion there means, you know, it's part of their weaponry that they use to overcome the devil. You know, that, so, you know, if you only testify when the victory is already won, then it's not part of your weaponry. You know, to make it part of your weaponry, you use your testimony even before the thing, you know, has come to pass. You testify. You change your name. I will be the Father of Nations. Glory to God. You testify about it before you even see. You don't even have a child, but you are now going to be Father of Nations. You change your name to prove it. And then you declare, you know, it ahead of time. Many times he would say, you know, Jesus, that is, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it again. And he would tell disciples, the Son of Man must go such and such a place, Jerusalem, brought before the chief priests, and he'll be crucified. And on the third day, he will rise again. I mean, he was always declaring these things and using that testimony ahead of time to get his own victory as a man. You know, and he would say things like this, lo, I have told you before. Hallelujah. And so we also must declare a testimony of your emerging ahead of time. Don't wait until you finally emerge. Well, you can if you want to. That's the traditional way of giving a testimony. But the revelatory way of giving a testimony is to use it to overcome the devil, to use it to overcome distractions, to use it to overcome, you know, all of the contradictions against that word or promise. You know, you declare your testimony. And God is always jealous over that testimony. That's right. When you declare that testimony, that providence will watch over it, will bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. So that's it. That's a full review of the Emerge series. And what's next is going to be our Transform and Transfigure series. And I pray, and I want your prayers, because, you know, that's probably going to be one of the most important series you've ever heard in your lifetime. In my lifetime too, maybe. Maybe one of the most important things I've ever embarked on speaking and teaching to the people of God. So, but we'll do it by His grace. And again, in all of this, it's the Lord that gets the credit. You know, we don't get any credit. I don't get any credit. I don't want any credit. But I don't deserve any credit. You know, because, you know, people come out here, and I appreciate the kind words. You know, I appreciate it that people come out here and say, you know, how they are blessed and so forth. That's good. I appreciate that. But it's the Lord, that deserves the credit. You know, because it's God that walketh in both to will and to perform. It's Philippians 2:13. So we can't do anything of our own. You know, as a matter of fact, the Lord said in Luke chapter 17, tell them a story. You know, as stewards in the vineyard, at the end of the day, all you have to say is, we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. You know, and after you do one thing, the master will tell you to do another thing. And then you got to do it. And then yet another thing. And you got to do that. And yet another thing. Because Jesus said, look, which of you having servant, you know, when the servant comes back from the field, will you tell the servant to go and sit down to meal? No, you give him some other errand to do. And after he's done that, he serve you. And then when he's served you, then he can go eat. And Jesus says, so likewise, ye, after you've done all these things, you say that we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We give all the glory and all the praise to the Lord. We're actually unprofitable servants. We don't deserve any glory. It is the Holy Spirit that's doing what he's doing. All we have to say is say yes. And you all said yes, just like I said yes. So I don't get any more credit about it than anybody else. You said yes to the Lord. I said yes. We all said yes. You know, and that's what we must say by the grace of God. Is we must say yes. Glory to God. Now, let me read this to you, and I will yield my mic. So likewise ye, Luke 17, and I believe verse 10, if I can find it, but I can quote it from my head. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which I've commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done only that which was our duty to do. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. We have gone through a lot in this series. We've laid out your word. Now, let it be said that thy words were found and I did eat them. You know, just like, you know, Jeremiah and all these prophets and all the people of God in the olden days, how they sought out your word. Now, may the people who have listened to these lessons seek out these words. Listen to the replays, do search the scriptures, engage with the Holy Spirit, and get themselves in understanding of what the Spirit is saying. Eat up these words. Hallelujah. Praise God. May the word, as intended, bring forth the purpose of God in our lives. The word of God, we're told, you know, will not fall to the ground or return void. It's going to prosper in the thing whereunto it's sent. It will accomplish the purpose of God, his pleasure in our lives. And thank you, Father, for counting us worthy to be vessels of mercy and vessels of honor. And we will emerge because you said it. And it is written in the volume of the book concerning us. And because we have believed, therefore we also speak. May it be unto us, be it unto us, according to thy word. Thank you, Father. We're looking forward to the few remaining couple of weeks in this year. And as we go through next year, amazing things unfolding. Thank you, Father. Give you all the praise and glory. And even as John, things were unfolding, he saw, you know, he saw one angel step forward, blew the trumpet, and things happened, and things unfolded. Well, we see in the spirit also, you know, these angels that are lined up right now. And one by one, as they pull back certain things, you know, begin to unveil in our lives. Incredible mercies of God are coming. And ye shall increase. The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. We thank God for the next generation. Hallelujah. Yes, that's coming next gen. We'll be talking about that also in our Transform and Transfigure series. And God's right here with us to lead us all the way into that which God has promised for us. Father, we give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.